There is a power of this simple mind that can know whatever is happening, many different contexts, different situations, maybe require what we could call maybe different levels of perception. And so sitting in the hall, not much need for kind of tracking the ordinary. Sometimes that may be what's happening in the sitting, and we can notice the mind in thought and shifting into thought. And we can be more interested in that case in, oh, this is just a thought arising. How is this thought experienced? Is it a image, or is it a, as if somebody's talking to me, or is it a feeling in the body? How is this thought expressed? Or maybe how does the thought affect the mind? What is the shaping power of that thought? And so less interested in the content of the thought and more interested in the knowing the process of thinking. So in the sitting practice, there is a opportunity to let go of the ordinary level of context of, you know, being a part of this choreographed flow of the retreat, of being a partner or a friend or a sibling or whatever kind of ordinary context there is in our world and our lives. And then in other situations, in other contexts, in the kitchen, in being in your yogi jobs or just various contexts, there is a kind of the need to hold that understanding of what's appropriate here as a veggie chopper, for instance. The awareness of the vegetables, how the service, the kitchen mentor asked me to chop the vegetables, where they go, that all these things need to be tracked. And these are kind of simple things that need to be tracked, but there is a context that is held in that place. And that, having that context, having that more ordinary level of need to track, doesn't mean that mindfulness cannot be very continuous. I mean, we wouldn't stand in the kitchen, although it has happened, stand chopping vegetables with our eyes closed, feeling, you know, just sensation. Not a good context in which to enter into the sensations with the eyes closed. And so this understanding the context, our minds will naturally understand context, and yet, you know, so going into the kitchen, most people do recognize eyes open here. sometimes we can have a belief or an agenda or an expectation that somehow this is lesser practice. It's, you know, we almost just let go of the dedication and the commitment, the engagement, because we think, well, I can't be as mindful here. And that's just a belief. There is a possibility of that continuous mindfulness, fully knowing the context, understanding what's happening, fully aware and experiencing the ordinariness. And in this case, the thoughts aren't necessarily just notices. Oh, this is a thought arising. The thought arises and we understand this thought is useful. This is where I put the zucchini. It's a functional thought. We don't just simply note it as thinking. Just not engage with the content. And so this ordinary experience, this is a way our mind navigates the world at times. It's a perception, it's a way of perceiving that our minds know how to do. And it is not inherently non-mindful. It's a very useful way of navigating relationships and objects in the world, walking paths and bunnies and caterpillars, cars, this ordinary level of awareness, this perceptual level where we know it's not just form and color. And so it's a perceptual, it's a perception, this ordinary level of experience. And at times in the meditation, the mind shifts into a different level of perception, of seeing maybe more a moment-to-moment unfolding, a thought leading to an emotion, leading to body sensation, understanding the conditioned nature of an arising sequence of an events in very fine detail. Or maybe seeing just popping in and out of a sight, a body sensation, or maybe in a sound, hearing just like this broken bits of sound. This is perception. The mind able to perceive things in a different way. It's not inherently better than ordinary perception. There is some functionality to that in our meditative work, in that seeing things at that subtle level does tend to help the mind to recognize impermanent, unreliable, uncontrollable at very deep levels. Not self. What is self in this particulate form and color, bits of pitch and tone? And so that it helps for the mind to kind of shake up its beliefs around a sense of self. But it's not that in the ordinary experience that the mind cannot have this continuity and understand that impermanent, unreliable, not self nature of experience. As the mind gets more stable, as the mindfulness gets more stable, as our mind kind of gets familiar with a wider terrain of what's happening. I'm going to pause here for a moment and offer an analogy that came up in one of my practice discussions the other day. Someone said that I feel like I know my way up a mountain, up the mountain. I know this path up the mountain, and there's there's a lot of depth to that understanding in that path up the mountain. And I feel like I'm kind of starting over in this practice. And that analogy resonated with me, and what I described or said was Well, you're not completely starting over, but what's happening is instead of tuning this one path up the mountain, is you're getting to know the whole mountain, the entirety of the mountain, all the various places where there are ravines and where the water comes down, and how this area is a dangerous navigation. And it's not a single path up the mountain. It's, you're getting to know the whole mountain, and that takes time. And so the kind of practice we're exploring here is not that one path up the mountain. It is that whole terrain. And as there is more capacity to know the whole terrain, the more there's understanding of the entirety of the mountain, we begin to recognize and understand that these perceptual differences, it's like this perception is, well, it's the perception of this part of the mountain. And this perception is the perception of this part of the mountain. It's not a better part of the mountain in terms of the experience. It's just a different part of the mountain. And the mind can get very malleable. So here the mountain analogy falls apart because it's like, you know, in the mountain analogy, you're perceiving or knowing one part of the mountain and then another part of the mountain, and to get from one to another, it's often a long journey. In the way our mindfulness works, there can be a switch between different levels of perception in a moment. Our mind can become so malleable. We can be sitting in that very moment-to-moment perception. And then the mind understanding a new context can switch into ordinary awareness and then maybe back again. We may have a view or a belief that kind of switching between levels takes a lot of time. And sometimes it does, because our mind kind of gets in a groove or a kind of a place. And some of it is belief that it's, wow, this is really, I better not do much right now. You know, this the kind of the place of that very moment-to-moment perception. And yet a lot of it can be belief that it's going to take a long time for me to kind of come back into ordinary awareness in order to do this next thing. And so noticing whether that belief is there and holding the possibility that the mind has the capacity to shift perceptions very quickly. It is just perception at work. And so that ordinary experience, which seems to be something that people stumble into quite a bit on this particular practice, it does happen in other practices. I noticed it in the Mahasi practice as well. I thought something was wrong. My teacher said, no, that's fine. But for some reason in this practice, that's kind of one of the hallmarks at times of that. The way we work with awareness, there's more of this ordinariness. And it's another perception to know.